Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a smart speaker at home? Listen to the sports leader, The Fan Rochester at home, by asking it to play 95.7 The Fan.
Buffalo Bills fresh from their bye week, getting back on the practice field tomorrow and covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Also the co-host of the Shout podcast, as we do every week at this time, Matt Perino joins us in the sports bar. Matt, I've been saying all week, blowout or bust. I mean, like, you're coming off a bye week. It's Carolina. You're probably facing their backup quarterback. Kansas City's on deck. They're not looking ahead to Kansas City, but this should be a statement. They should absolutely throttle this team. And the thing I think more than anything that we want to, at least that I want to see, is how do they deploy two new pieces that have been suspended for the first 6 weeks? Do you have any sense of what Ogunjobi and Hoyt's role will be in their first game in Buffalo, or for Buffalo, coming off of suspension?
Yeah, so I guess to start, you know, I get the sentiment, right? Like, it's looked so bad at times over the last two games that on the road against the Panthers team, that sure, they've won three in a row, but how real is that and who have they played and all those things? I get all of that. And I agree. I do think the Bills should be able to score a lot, figure out, get right offensively, especially if Dalton Kincaid is back and healthy. I think he's apparently way more important to this offense than even the most bullish Dalton Kincaid fans going into the season believed he was. And, you know, I think they have to go on the road and get right defensively. And I've maintained that, like, Michael Hoyt isn't some Superman waiting to put on a cape that's going to fix all the problems. What I do think he gives you is he gives you an energy, a durability, and just a vibe to the way that he plays that I think this defense needs right now. They need somebody to come in and really be a tone setter in a lot of ways and maybe, you know, lift a lot of guys. There, I was doing a little research on Hoyt because I'm writing about him for tomorrow, and or maybe later in this week, I don't know yet. And back last season, the LA Rams had rebuilt their defense, especially their defensive line, and they were just getting bulldozed through the first six or seven games. Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic wrote a big takeout on this, and they had a lot of questions to answer. And Hoyt and a lot of these other guys, they figured things out. They got their run defense in a really good spot. He's gone through this before, and I think, you know, he's somebody that I think that you could throw out there for 50 to 60% of the snaps this week and hope for an impact. I don't think you need to ask Ogunjobi to do that much. I think that he can be that 35 to 45% interior backup behind Ed Oliver, who's playing a chunk of snaps. And we've seen what Deion Walker has already done. I feel like Deion Walker is probably that guy that is going to start to play over even Daquan Jones when he's healthy. We'll see how serious that calf injury is. But I think both of them are going to play. Both of them are going to have roles. I would expect Hoyt to play a little more.
Yeah, what was eye-opening to me, Matt, and you were right. So what a week this has been, right? When we talked this time last week, it was right after the loss to Atlanta, and Bernard didn't have a good game, and Bernard has not lived up to what we would think he should be playing. You pointed that out. Now, well, his status for this week, like, as we're entering this week, like, give us a refresher here. What are some of, I mean, Bernard being right at the top, though, in terms of, like, injury question marks we have for the Buffalo Bills entering this game?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it hasn't been the start of the season that I think anybody hoped for, probably Bernard more than anybody. I mean, coming off of that contract extension, he's a pretty proud guy. I'd imagine he'd want to be playing a little bit better. If he can't go, I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world. I think Shaq Thompson at the middle linebacker spot, because of his history with McDermott, knowing this defense, versatility, I don't think that that's a horrible thing. And I think maybe, you know, we've spent so much time talking about Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernard, when they've been on the field together, like building that chemistry. Like sometimes I think the chemistry is less important when you have a guy that's played as much as Shaq Thompson has played. And so I think Matt Milano has done a lot for Bernard when they've been able to be out there together. And obviously it's not been a lot. And I think that maybe Thompson can have a similar effect on Williams. So I know there's some Bills fans that are hoping to see Thompson and Williams regardless. We'll see what the status is of Milano too. I know it was week to week. They're probably going to let that get as close to 100% as possible at this point, because you throw him out there after a couple of weeks, he re-injures the same pec injury. That's probably something you want to take a little bit slower, but I don't think you have any problems going with Thompson and Dorian Williams if you have to.
Matt, when we last saw Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop, it was bad. It wasn't good. And we actually saw Jordan Poyer on the field a little bit in Atlanta. What combination do you think we see against Carolina? Do we see Poyer suit up again? What do you think Sean McDermott does here with his secondary that got gashed against the Falcons?
It's a great question, and I'm sure it's going to be asked, and everybody will be watching to see if there's any changes that are made. I think with the Carolina Panthers up next, the Bills could really maybe go one more round with Taylor Rapp and see what it looks like, to see if he responds in any kind of way. Because as much as everybody might think this is a pushover game, this is a team that is running the absolute heck out of the football right now. And it's mostly Rico Dowdle. They got a bit of a conundrum at their hands, because since Chuba Hubbard came back last week, you know, he's not running the ball the same way that Dowdle is. And it feels like they wanted this to be a shared backfield, when it really should be Dowdle's show at this point. I mean, he had two back-to-back 200-yard rushing games. I don't know how you go away from that, especially with the Bills, who are literally dead last in the NFL in run defense DVOA through six games. So I don't know. I have been advocating for a look at Jordan Poyer or Jordan Hancock. I think they'd probably start with Poyer because of his history in the defense and that veteran leadership, and maybe that would help out Cole Bishop a little bit. But it wouldn't surprise me if they go one more with Taylor Rapp and see if he can't have the kind of game that I think we saw in a few spots last year, where he played really, really well. And I don't know, like, is he just shot? He's not, like, he's in the prime of his career age-wise. Like, this is a very interesting regression. And, you know, even when he played quote-unquote poorly last year at times, it wasn't as bad as it's been this season. So I'll be interested to see. The eight missed tackles, though, that's one thing that's got to be really eating at Sean McDermott.
Yeah, I mean, one player that I liked during camp, Matt, but it got cut a little short due to an injury, Hancock. Like, where is he at in his development? Do you think that's a viable option? Let me draw the analogy. Like, you had a situation with Tre'Davious White. Hey, maybe we'll try something different. And they sprinkled in Dorian Strong until he got hurt, and I kind of like that plan. Until, could we see Hancock perhaps getting a few reps?
A few reps? No. Like, I don't think that they're going to do a shared safety spot. I don't think Sean wants to do that, and he's even alluded to that a few times. If they make the change to Hancock, they're going to make the change to him. And I don't know if they're there yet necessarily. The other part of it is, like, for better or for worse, I do think that there's a hesitation to go with young players. And that's something that Taylor Rapp's played so poorly that to not go to Jordan Hancock, they have to be seeing something in practice that's holding them back from making that decision. Like, maybe he's just not ready from a communication standpoint or whatever, but I don't know. Like, you need somebody that's a little bit better in, you know, tackling, number one, but also, like, recognition and, you know, reacting. And that's where Taylor Rapp's left the most to be desired. So I would not have any issue. I tweeted it in the game. Like, try a Jordan, Poyer or Hancock, pick one, just to see what it looks like, to see if it's any different. So if the Bills make that change this week, I'm in favor of it. I support it. I just, knowing this regime and knowing the kind of stock they've put into Taylor Rapp as a starter on this defense and one of the leaders of this defense post Poyer Hyde, that's a huge statement that would be made if they sit him down and say, you're no longer the starting safety. We're going with a guy that wasn't even on a roster 2 months ago before the Bills brought him back to the practice squad, or a fifth-round rookie.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt, on the offensive side of the ball, the last two games we've seen the Bills look less than coordinated. And you could say that maybe that has to do with them not running the ball as efficiently as they did the first 4 weeks of the season. That's something I'm looking for as well against Carolina. The Bills' ability to establish the run and to see James Cook look like the James Cook we saw the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and this is also a Carolina team in their three-game win streak that has done a really good job of limiting teams in their run games. And, I mean, the Jets aren't really a good example. I mean, Breece Hall hasn't, you know, really run it against anybody this season. But even against Dallas, I mean, Dak Prescott had a really good game, but it wasn't really their run game that did anything in that game. 13 carries for 29 yards for Javonte Williams. Same thing against the Miami Dolphins the week before that started their whole win streak when Devin Achane ran for 10 times for 16 yards. So this is going to be a challenge for the Bills to right the ship. Now, I'd imagine they'll be a little bit healthier. It felt like, you know, Spencer Brown missed a game in there in the first six. Connor McGovern was a little bit banged up. I think even Deion was banged up for a second in a game, if I remember properly. So they were definitely dealing with some nicks and bruises. I think that the bye week gets this offensive line healthy. They can kind of go back and reassess 13 personnel. So not having Kincaid also affects their ability to put defenses in a bind. Are they going to run it or are they going to pass it when they go 13? I mean, that's this year's jumbo package. And when you're not able to run that at the same level, that's an issue. And I think there's also, you know, I know he had the touchdown catch, but where's Dawson Knox in all of this? Like, where, you know, this is a guy that you're paying $12 million per season. And I don't know, in a game like 2 weeks ago, I know he makes that nice touchdown grab, but you'd like him to be able to step up a little bit more, I think, in the passing game as well. And, you know, there's so much that goes into the conversation around who's getting open. Are enough guys getting open? Is Josh not seeing them? Is it a schematic thing with Joe Brady? I mean, this has been the thing that's been talked about for the last 2 weeks ad nauseum. And this is an opportunity for them to figure out some things. And I think you want Josh Allen to look a little bit less flustered in this game. Like, Derek Brown is phenomenal. Like, the middle of their defense, he's really going to be a problem to handle. But outside of him, you know, they don't have any, like, premier edge rushers. I mean, Nick Scourton's a rookie who's been all right for them. Don't have a lot of playmakers at the second level. I mean, Trayvon Morrig's pretty good, and they have one really elite-level cornerback. This isn't a defense that scares you. This offense should be able to get back into some type of rhythm and scoring at a high clip.
Matt, last one for me, and it's about Maxwell Harrison, where, all right, so the window's open. Let me just first confirm that I have this right. It's 3 weeks they've got to decide, which would mean that somewhere between now and the Dolphins game on the back end, you'd have to put him on the 53. If they determine he's not ready, then he goes back on IR, and that's the end of the season. Like, how do you think this goes here? How do the Bills reintegrate Maxwell Harrison, a player that they had such high hopes for?
So I believe the 21-day window would take you to post-Dolphins game. So his first active game, theoretically, could be after the Dolphins. I think maybe it's the Bucs there. I'm not sure. I got to look at the schedule. Either way, you know, he seems to be trending in the right direction. I mean, if you think about a little over a month ago when he started appearing off to the side of practice, working and doing some things, he's wearing a pretty sizable knee brace, limited mobility. I mean, the recent work that we've seen out of practice, I mean, he is starting to cut. He's starting to backpedal. He's starting to, you know, move laterally. That's something that, you know, he's really ramping up even before now returning to practice. So, if you were to sell me a plan that he'd be active for this weekend, I'd listen to it. I mean, I don't think that that'd be out of the realm of possibility, but it's not something they got to rush either. He's going to need some practice reps. Now, the question is, all right, you have three healthy cornerbacks right now, which are Marcus Ingram, Trey White, and Christian Benford. If somebody goes down in the Kansas City game and you got to go to Jamarcus Ingram, what if two guys go down in that game? And maybe you, if you feel like he's ready, do you want to throw him out there and see if you can get some reps in and maybe get some experience against some guys on that team that have some speed and see how he reacts? I think any outcome here is possible. And I do believe, Sean, that you don't want to rush it. You want to keep expectations low. But at the same time, this is a first-round draft pick for a defense that has been searching for answers. And I got to be honest, he's got to be one of them, right? Because that was the offseason plan at cornerback, was go out, draft a guy in the first round. I know he got injured. I know he's been out for all this time. And maybe he's not 100% when he gets back, and that's got to be baked into the conversation, and we'll figure that out when you get there. But he's got to be at least somebody that you can put out there in a spot and ask to do the things that you drafted him to do.
And Matt, I know we've got a few weeks before the trade deadline hits, but the owners have gotten together and there's been some chatter. Maybe it's solely Jerry just getting the Cowboys in the news cycle, but you know, talking about being able to pry Max Crosby away from the struggling Raiders and doing it fairly reasonably. You know, that feels like a pipe dream, although I don't know why it would be for the Buffalo Bills. What exactly do you think are the priorities here for Brandon Bean as we approach the trade deadline?
You know, I'd have probably argued defense a bunch of different times over the last 2 months, but the closer the trade deadline gets, the more I do truly believe that a wide receiver makes the most sense. And it's not even about the collection that they have right now of their five. Their five, it's fine. I think it's, you know, do they need more talent there? Probably. It's not even about that, though. To me, it's about what do you do when one of these guys goes down? We saw Josh Palmer leave that game, and there was just no answers. When, you know, you need somebody to take some of the pressure off of Keon Coleman. Like, he's not going to be a guy, especially with what I believe, you know, the Bills are in a spot with this where they felt he could be something in their offense. They're still working to make him into an X receiver when he may not be that. He may be a big slot and better suited to play on the interior where he can go up against very undersized cornerbacks and bully them to a degree with his speed and physicality. Well, they're not even doing that at this point. So if you can go out there and add a speed threat like a Rashid Shaheed or a premier receiver like a Chris Olave, like, I like those ideas. I like, you know, going out and adding a player. That's one thing that Brandon did in 2020 that I think you can consider one of his most critically important moves, was when he dealt for Stephon Diggs, a true number one wide receiver. Do the Bills need a number one? No, not necessarily. But I feel like it just makes it so much easier when you can take some of that pressure off. And, you know, adding a downfield threat like a Shaheed as a plan B, I also don't think is the worst idea. I just think adding more talent around Josh Allen is the best plan, because even if you add another pass rusher, like a Max Crosby is a different tier. Like, you're right. Like, that would change the entire complexion of their defense, I think. The problem is the financials around adding Crosby still seem to be untenable. I mean, at this year, I think I saw Mike Gennetti put out a tweet today that it would be somewhere around $20 million that in this year's salary cap that you'd be adding in the trade for, you know, who you're going to send back, how you're going to make that money work. It's complicated. I mean, if Brandon Bean could get something like that, I definitely sign up for Max Crosby. But I think a better path would be one of these receivers that you can get at a little bit more of a reasonable money piece to just bolster your offense as much as possible, because you're probably going to be in shootouts all the way down the stretch and then into the playoffs.
Matt Perino, along with Ryan Talbot, on the Shout podcast. So tell our audience, if our audience hasn't checked it out already, when does it drop again? What can we check out at Syracuse.com this week, Matt?
Oh, yeah, we got a ton coming out this week. So I just finished up a pod with Carolina Panthers beat reporter. That'll come out tomorrow. We got a show tonight with Josh Reed and Carl Jones from Channel 4. We do a collab with them every week. We'll have our staple show on Thursday, our preview episode on Friday with predictions. And then we'll have you covered. Like I said, I'm going to be writing about Hoyt and Ogunjobi's reinsertion into the Bills defense and what that means. You can find that over at Syracuse.com later this week.
Appreciate the time as always, bud. Let's do it again next week.
All right. Take care, boys.
There's Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills, Syracuse.com, the Shout Podcast as well.
Is anybody going to argue against that? Because I would listen to the counter argument. My gosh, this team can't tackle. They need a corner. They need everything else. They're a receiver short right now. If you can identify that receiver, I just think that would unlock everything else, free everything else a little bit.
I think you should be able to score 30 points a game even if you didn't have Josh Palmer. You didn't have Josh Palmer last year, right? Same guys you had last year. Is it a lot of the same guys you had last year, if not the same guy? I mean, what's the difference? Amari Cooper? That the only real difference from last year? Josh Palmer is an upgrade from Amari Cooper. If Palmer can't go, well, you still can score 30 points a game. I wouldn't be upset at the idea of them getting some speed and getting a wide receiver that can get that valuable separation that everybody's been talking about for the last 2 weeks.
Shaheed's good. Shaheed's good too.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Really appreciate Matt Perino giving us his time, giving us his thoughts as the Bills get ready to travel to Carolina and take on the Panthers. That's a Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff. You'll be able to hear the action on the Fan Rochester. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 9 o'clock. We check in with Rochester Americans head coach Mike Leone coming up here at 4:25. Next in the sports bar are a Week 8 Survive and Advance Survivor football pick. We will end the suspension. We will give you a Week 8 winner, and we will advance to Week 9 in your Survivor pool. Also, Fantasy Football Talk with Michael LeFlorio coming up before 5 o'clock as well. Stay in the sports bar.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.